Magic. It's 8 p.m. This is Radio Ghana.
Live from the National Studios in Broadcasting House here in Accra, my name is George Asikri with this edition of Behind the News, where we bring you latest updates and detailed analysis of current happenings in Ghana. Tonight, moves to compel owners of public buildings to make them disability compliant. Will this be enough to make PWDs feel not discriminated? Mixed views on creation of new regions emerge as President enters day two of his tour of the Western and Central regions. Tonight, we examine the pros and cons of the new regions. And government targets 1.5 million metric tons of cocoa in the shortest possible time. What will this add on to our economy? Stay tuned for the next 1 hour as we bring you details of all these stories on our show tonight. Our text line is 0266-026-941. Behind the News, we are live on all our FM stations across the country to our very first story. The carving of a new region out of the Western region was one of the president's campaign promises during the 2016 election. The president has been on a tour of some parts of the Western region, and a debate of whether a new region should be created has again come up. Despite concerns for government to channel resources meant for the creation of the regions into other ventures aimed at developing the region, senior political science lecturer at the University of Ghana, Professor Ransford Jampo, is of the view that though the project is feasible, it will be prudent to do the cost-benefit analysis and go for the best in the interest of the country. So what are the compelling reasons for which the project should be considered or rejected? Joining us on the line is Professor Ransford Jampo. He's a senior lecturer, Department of Political Science, University of Ghana, Legon. Prof, good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Hi, good evening, George.
Prof, the president has been talking of the new regions and the processes appear to be ongoing. So what are some of the things that we should consider if we are supposed to go for the regions?
I don't think the processes have been started, because as far as I know, a commission will have to be put in place to ascertain whether indeed there should be regional reorganizations in the areas to be affected. That commission has not been put in place yet, so I don't know whether the processes have started. But the point is, why do we want to reorganize certain regions? And why do we want to create additional regions? Oftentimes, it's been argued that you want central government closer to the people, and then you want people to also experience development. And I keep asking myself, is that the way to go if you want to have development for our people? There are serious agents that are supposed to bring about development in the various regions and the various districts. I'm talking especially about the district assemblies and all that. What are the challenges that they see in being able to carry out their mandate in a manner that brings about development? Have we investigated those challenges? If we haven't investigated those challenges, why do you all of a sudden want to think that the very challenges plaguing the various district assemblies will be wiped away once new districts are created and new assemblies created within them? I don't think the challenges would go away with ease. And so the point is, look, there's been a survey. I have done a paper on this particular issue, and it is yet to be published and presented. I completed the paper, I think, about 2 months ago, and so I've forgotten the details of it, but I can give you snippets of information about it. You know, the IEA, for instance, I think about 2 or 3 months ago, did a presentation. In fact, I was part of that presentation, where we looked at the ordinary people's expectation of the new government. That work essentially looked at the promises that were made in the lead-up to the 2016 election, and then we sought to the Ghanaians are still expectant, you know, of the new regime, that it focuses on those problems. And one of the issues we tested was the proposal for regional reorganization or the creation of new regions. And the data that we had suggested that so many people were in favor of it, particularly the areas, the four regions that are to be affected. They were virtually, apart from the Volta region, that support for the proposal was low. The rest, the remaining regions, the remaining three regions were very much in support of it. The support for it was massive. But as a political scientist, George, I'm sure you are one of our students, and you know that new regimes that have goodwill always have people supporting whatever they propose to do without thinking about the implications, without thinking about feasibility and all that. So I thought to question myself, these people are supporting this, but do they know the implications? Do they know the means through which would have to go to get this into fruition and all that? Have we done cost-benefit analysis? And what are they really looking for in calling for regional reorganization? And so I realized that it seems that the majority of the people who are in support of it actually do not know what it entails.
Okay.
First of all, like I said, you have to have a commission that will go down the ground to see whether indeed there is a need for us to create additional regions. Now, if you put in place this commission and come out to tell you that we spoke to the people and realized that what you are talking about is baseless, the people don't like it, then you've lost money. Now, second, if the commission is able to clear that hurdle and you say, yes, let's go ahead to have regional reorganization, what you have to do is to conduct a plebiscite, not a referendum. The framers of the Constitution put in place a referendum, but George, you know the difference between a referendum and a plebiscite. So I'm happy to also have pointed out some of those who framed our Constitution who are still alive, that particular word they use there, that we have to conduct a referendum, is wrong. But referendum is supposed to occur. It's a yes or no vote among the entire voting populace of a country.
Yeah.
A plebiscite is a yes or no vote among a section of the voting public. And so you can't say you have a referendum there. So a plebiscite would have to be conducted in the affected region. Now, in the plebiscite, I think 40% or so, forgotten, around 40% must turn up vote. And out of this, I think 80% must vote to support the proposal for additional regions to be created. Now, you and I know the voter turnout in our local elections. On the average, national elections, voter turnout has been around 60%. But in our local elections, you know, district-level elections, the average has been between 27 and 30%.
Yeah.
And so if you're asking for 40%, it's going to be problematic. And if you're out of this 40%, you're expecting 80% to vote to support it. Don't also lose sight of the fact that the opposition is also allowed to go campaign against it. And so it is quite a Herculean task that if you don't take care and you don't get the 40% voter turnout, given the history of voter turnout in local elections, if you don't care and you don't get 80% also voting to support it, then you may also have caused financial loss to the state. Again, have we thought about the cost implications of creating new regions? This is a government. Yesterday, I heard the senior minister saying that, look, it is going to be impossible for us to absorb more people into the public sector. Okay? And so they are sort of rehashing the NDC's public sector recruitment freeze. Now, if you want to create new regions, you need to make monies available to establish new regional coordinating councils. You need new vehicles, you need new buildings, you need new infrastructure, you need to recruit new set of people into them. And that is expensive. And then, like I said, the agents of development are the various districts. They are the district assemblies. They are seriously challenged and deficient in delivering on their mandate. Okay, so why do you all of a sudden want to assume that the moment a new region is created and a district assembly established within that region, that district assembly will perform better than what those that are already existed? No.
Prof, but people have said that we've done it before. For instance, the very last one being the Upper West region, we were successful at that. And today, the evidence is there. Development has moved to that region. And some have even argued that the Upper West is overtaking the Upper East, benefit of a new region.
I'm not sure. I do not think so. I mean, what are the indicators? What are you using to measure? The point is this. If the very agents that are supposed to bring about development are not strengthened to do what they are supposed to do, then creating of a new region, an additional region, is a complete waste of resources and waste of everybody's time. And so in my view, government must focus on its key initiative, such as one district, one factory.
Okay.
Or giving $1 million to every
constituency
and then also that of one village, one dam, and all that. I mean, if these things are really going to be done, one district, one factory, if you're going to do this, it will bring about development. The whole idea of creating additional regions is to bring about development. And if you're able to implement this initiative very well, then you would have development. And I'm saying that in some time past, I think Professor Mills also faced a similar pressure from some people within the northern region that they wanted it to be split and all that. And I think there was a committee that was put in place to look into it. Its report was not implemented, but in the state, what happened was they started the Fufuso Solar,
yes.
That road.
Damango.
Okay, Damango Road. In that project, that huge project, it brought about development in that area. It brought about employment in the area. It brought about activity in the area. And because it brought about employment and a lot of economic activities within that area, people who were calling for the region to be divided and all that just kept quiet. And so the point is, if you want to bring about development, the way to go is to put in place rather proactive measures to bring about development, such as implementing one district, one factory. It will bring about development.
Right.
And not really creating new regions that we have not even looked at the cost implications and all that.
Right. Prof, we are very grateful for your time on our show tonight.
Pleasure.
Professor Ransford Jampo is the Director, Center for European Studies and a Senior Political Science Lecturer, Department of Political Science, University of Ghana, Legon. It's Behind the News. We are live on Radio Ghana. We also have on the line Deputy Minister, Regional Reorganization and Development, Martin Ajemensa Kosa. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Yeah, good evening. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for your time. Where are we at the moment in the process of getting new regions?
First of all, would it be appropriate to have Dr. Jampo or Professor Jampo on the other side hear me, since I have been on the line for a pretty long time listening to him? Would have been good to hear me also, but let him off the hook. He's entitled to all that he has said. I think by the time we've made the designs, we would have had a dozen lot more regional reorganization expert. I didn't even know he was an expert, or he's become an expert overnight. But again, if he goes into coaching to get the statistics, I'll get it right. The constitution never says that minimum 40% must be voted or must be turning up. It's false. Correct. It says that 50%. And so once you get into coaching statistics and then you put yourself as an expert, you must be getting it right.
He wasn't precise about that. He talked about a plebiscite and not.
I acknowledge all that he has said. I don't. But that is his view. And that view is contrary to other millions of Ghanaians who for the last 30 years or more, through different governments in this country, governments have gone and come. Governments have outlived these demands or these requests for millions of our kinsmen in this country for real reasons or to have separate reasons. I don't think it's enough for Dr. Zappo and a single view for me to forego without it. Go to Northern Boulder. They've been in this for over 30 years. Western region. Two same for the half region. Not even mention the Northern region. Over here. Across the political divide in this country, the two times parties ruling the country, NPP, have all made commitment. NPP has committed to get 5 regions, page 72, 73 of their manifesto. And they underpin it based on the fact that, indeed, our constitution dedicates a whole chapter to regional. It is not a useless exercise. The framers of our constitution envisage that from time to time it becomes necessary and useful. And so a whole chapter, chapter 2, has been dedicated to the process, the methodology, how to create freedom. Again, I want Dr. Jampo to
understand. Professor Jampo, sorry.
Professor Jampo. I think one of the very people, today I see him applauding and putting his hopes in having one district, one country, one village, one dam, and $1 million. But yesterday they were telling us this is all not true.
Who are the day?
I mean, the lies of Dr. Professor Jampo.
But Prof. Jampo never said that.
Okay, the lies of Professor Jampo. They challenged us. I can give you recording. Okay, if you want us to go into the archive. People who pontificated against these laudable policies.
They were your political opponent.
Today, Dr. Jampo runs right on that as an excuse or a reason to say that creating a reason. It's not necessary.
He hasn't said it is not necessary. He's talking about the cost-benefit analysis.
He has said that it is a waste of money. It is not a solution to decentralizing or deepening decentralization.
Yes.
I heard him write and say it is a waste of our time and our resources. And you are telling me that it's not necessary.
He said it is a waste of time and resources if we go there and after
I
the differ, process we
I,
don't
I,
succeed.
I differ with him. We can sit in our car sometime and whichever way we can, we have abundance of amenities. Okay? The best developed life that we can have, economically, socially, everything. But others don't have it that way. As I speak to you, somebody may be carried from one state of a region over 4 hours to access health care. Somebody is into labor and has to be carried over 5 hours to access a health food. We lose critical, valuable, important lives because of lack of access to health care. Don't talk of food. Don't talk of food. I mean, quality life. Okay?
But question is, is the region the solution?
It is a solution.
There's a very good hospital in Techimai. It's not a regional capital.
I'm saying that if you were to look at, is anybody creating a region in Techimai? Hello?
Yeah, hello?
Yes, is anybody creating a region?
I'm only arguing, you saying that we need these things because people may be sick.
I'm talking about somebody in one stretch, Daboya, Damongo, and has to travel all the way to Tamale.
But would it be out of place to get the hospital at Daboya?
How do you then liken that situation to Techimai, which is just about 40 minutes to scan it? So your analogy is wrong. You cannot be being brave.
I'm only arguing that what if you put up a best hospital, very good hospital at Daboya, would the people need to travel to Tamale?
The point I'm trying to make to you is that let us not rubbish this process. And let us not make it feel that what other people go through in some part of this we care less about. I've told you the importance that people attach to it. Create a region, yes, it does not necessarily bring about development. But it gives you the opportunity to strategically transfer all the functions of government, which will naturally lead to economic, social, cultural enhancement. Once you create a region, you automatically are going to have to put in place all the development agents that are required or that have been in place for those of the cars, the commercials, and so on. That makes us tend to immediately forget.
All right. So where are we now?
In other parts of the country. And what? So you can argue that yes, district. But take for example, a district in a locality, which has to deal with nearly 1,000 square kilometers of land size. How effective can this district as an administrative body be managing such an area? You rather would have to find a bigger coordinating unit to be able to manage the area that you are talking about. Go to the northern region. It has a land size of over 70,000 square kilometers. Compared to Greater Accra, Greater Accra is less than 4,000. Yes, we think Accra is big. Accra has it all. But you can have a distance travel of nearly 2 hours between a district and another. And then you are telling me that that district should be the one to manage an enclave. To manage, come on, are we serious? We need to be able to appreciate what we are saying. But I get a question that immediately our attitude is to rubbish it and make it seem unimportant.
These are just alternative views, Mr. Ajay Mensah.
Yes, there has to be. There has to be alternative views. But I'm saying that. I don't really get the point. Is it a cost that people are worried about?
The point is that people are saying that it is for development. And if it is for development, there are so many ways of doing development without creating a new region.
But that doesn't also take away the possibility to create a region, which of course is endorsed by a fundamental law of the land, the Constitution. The
right,
Constitution.
So where are we? Where are we now in the process?
Well, we have finished a fair series of consultative processes that have gone on. The petitions that were sent on the president have found themselves or itself with the Council of State, because the Constitution, Chapter 2, Article 5.2, enjoins the president to obtain the advice of the Council of State if he so petition to create a new region. So the president has followed this thoroughly. We are at the stage where the president has launched all these petitions that have emanated from the chiefs and people in this region in demand of this region, and this has been nearly over 30 years standing in each of all the cases. Now, the president is expected to meet to the Council of State somewhere, I believe, on the 15th of this month, where we will know the direction of the Council of State on this matter. They are supposed to also go through it, dissect it, and then offer their advice to the president. And then, based on which, we will set up a commission of inquiry to proceed. So we should expect a meeting sooner with the president. Afterwards, then we can be having a commission of inquiry who will now go and delve into this matter. The commission of inquiry can come back and tell us more. That yes, so for example, is right. We cannot create a region here. We cannot do that here. We cannot do that there. That is also yet another matter.
Okay.
But I think we are not even yet at that. And people will not want to give others who equally have the right to want to live in developed, you know, situation, the chance to want to wish for any good for themselves. And I think it's unfortunate. We
all
cannot
right.
do that. Life tends to be comfortable for us in Accra, but elsewhere it's difficult.
Thank you.
I'm on the phone with the president, touring the Western region. And we go to places, secondary school. We're in the era where investment the president in our history is given as free evidence. But some communities don't even have the schools to benefit from. And then you come and you quickly you think that it should be dismissed.
Thank you very much for your time on Behind the News. Martin Ajay Mensah Khosa is Deputy Minister responsible for Regional Reorganization and Development. We also have on the line the Member of Parliament for Wassa East, Isaac Ajay Mensah. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm fine. It sounds so nice from Martin Ajay Mensah to Isaac Ajay Mensah.
That's right.
Well, your constituency falls under one of the regions to be affected with this. So far, what has been the impression you get from the constituents on this whole exercise?
Thank you very much. Again, let me greet back. This is very good
Westminster.
Honorable, can you position yourself well for us? Your line is not too clear.
Okay, so, let me get it done for you. I'm driving, so let me stop.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, better.
Better now?
Yes, it's better now.
Yes. And I made a little to the fact that I have said that my special of positioning on the creation of the new region in a progressive direction now. Because I think, and many people say the same thing, that the problem of Western region is this. The issue regarding accessibility in terms of growth, to the development in terms of education, development in terms of medical provision and so on. These are critical issues for the region that requires that we need attention. The issue of the financial education of the new region. What of the concern now from the very good people of the banking sector is that the new region and the concern is about development.
And the line is getting bad again. Hello.
Hello.
Well, let me call you back on the line. Maybe there's a problem with it. Let's call you back.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. Now? Yes, it's better.
It's better, super.
Good.
So the issue of the region is development. We need to get a development sorted out properly and clearly. Because the issue of what the region is about the north, and the understanding is that many people should tell you, Western region provides over 50% of the nation's wealth in terms of gold, in terms of coal, in terms of recently the oil discovery and so on. But Western region lags behind in so many respects. The road network is very, very bad, and you know, recently the previous government NDC put in place a robust plan to get the system improved. There needs to be that improvement, but there's still more to be done. So, what's the region in terms of land size as compared to Brongas region, Asante region? It's not that, level of comparability. But so if we are able to get sort of those people, we will spend about 2 hours to travel from Asante region or so to Takoradi, for instance. So when the situation of the region is fixed, what remains a united entity. And so I want to take this opportunity also to reach to our very good chiefs that yes, we still need to stay united. Western region have been united over the years, even at the time while we think that development was eluding us or evading us. Now the partners, the capacity for us to provide a lot of resources in the region there. Now if I talk about roads, what am I talking about? Because I speak from the strength of my knowledge in about roads when I served the government as a deputy minister. There is the Western Corridor Road that stretches from Elibu to Enshi area there to Hamele. If you are able to get this road sorted out, then you'll be healed. Western Region will still remain exactly. And so what is the creation of a new region, personally, and many of us say the same view, is about development.
And you think plenty fish will spoil the soup?
Sorry?
Government has not indicated that it is not going to continue with roads and other projects. It's only owing to add on to that. And so they will tell you that plenty fish will not spoil the soup.
And so then the need or the care for a new region is development.
Yes.
Listen to the about development, the last is lagging behind development. So the sort of development issues come back to the situation? No. There should be the determination, the dedication to get the development region sorted out. I talked about the results in the region. Western region provides over 50% of the national wealth. And you see the level of development, Western region lags behind. And that is why, some people are good people in the north, and many people, or some people, are calling for the creation of a new region. So I think the attention should be focused onto the region now. We are all guilty in many respects that, we haven't paid enough attention.
Okay. All right. I want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Isaac J. Mensah is the Member of Parliament for Wassa East and is a former Deputy Minister of roads. We also have on the line local governance expert with the Institute of Local Government Studies, Fred Odru. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening.
Well, mixed views on the creation of the new regions. Where do you stand?
I'm all for the creation of some regions because of administrative issues and also investment and local economic development. So I think it is important to create new regions, especially if you are looking at the Western North. That is very, very important. But let me put in state clearly that I am not in support of creation of new districts. That one, but that is just to state that fact. Ghana does not need the space, but we need new regions because of administrative purposes and many other issues, including investment.
And some have also argued that, well, with the decentralization concept, if you are able to empower the metropolitan, municipal, and district assemblies and give them the power to operate at that level, there will be no need to have administrative regional capitals.
I beg to disagree with that view because if you look at our decentralized system, even at the regional level, you have about 22 decentralized departments.
Yes.
At just the regional level. But if you come to the district levels, you don't find that. So how would somebody, for instance, who needs some support from a department, which is at the regional level, working the northern part of Western region, say Debito, how is the person going to access it? See, the fact of the matter is that particularly the Sefi part of the Eastern region, they have difficulty getting to the regional capital at Kendi Takoradi. And most of the people would rather just go into Kumasi. But then if you need a service, especially at the regional level, and you need to go to Takoradi, and you have to travel through difficulty, it's like very, very cumbersome. I don't think it's good for governance. It's not good for administration. It's not even good for investment. Here we are looking at local economic development and people, basic services at the regional level. So I think, let us put aside all the politicking and be very factual to the issues. Because I can tell you that the key major, the two main political parties, so to speak, the NDP and NDC, both indicated that they wanted to create new regions. So I think that by and large, if we were to take just these two political parties, I don't remember any of the other parties also coming out to say that's a wrong policy. So if the will was there, both sides felt that we need to create new regions, and now we've gone through the politics. Let us put aside the politics and look at the real issues.
But is that really possible when it appears that we are not absorbing contrary argument? The NDC's argument of also creating regions, we know, came out because the NPP had said same and was gaining popularity. And so it was a counter political thing.
Well, at least if political parties can at a point realize that what the opponent is saying is good, then that must be good for the country. So I'm not too worried whatever informed the decision of a party to back an idea. It suggests to me that at least both the key parties, the key political parties, realize the importance of creating a region.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Very grateful. Fred Odru is a local governance expert with the Institute of Local Government Studies. It's Behind the News. We are live on radio. Cocoa has over the years been a major foreign exchange earner and the backbone of Ghanaian economy in spite of the export of gold and the discovery of oil and gas in commercial quantities. The country recorded its first ever highest tonnage of 1 million metric tons in 2010. The focus of the Nanado-led government is to produce not less than 1.5 million metric tons of cocoa in the shortest possible time. The president announced this when he launched the Cocoa Diseases and Pest Control Program, CODAPEC, at Dansukrum in the Western Region as part of his working visit to the region. So what are the exact interventions in place by government to achieve 1.5 million metric tons of cocoa in the shortest possible time? We have on the line the chief executive of Cocoa Board, Joseph Boyan Edo. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, sir.
And thanks for your time. What interventions are being rolled out to get the targeted 1.5 million metric tons of cocoa?
The first intervention is the hand pollination, what it is also referred to as the artificial pollination. What is happening is that for every cocoa mature tree, produces 1,000 flowers a year. Now, studies show that out of 1,000 flowers, less than 5% get pollinated. This is happening because the chemical spraying has reduced the population of the insects that do the natural pollination. Therefore, we have to do an intervention artificially to boost whatever the remaining insects are doing. And therefore, we've recruited 10,000 farm crews. We've trained them, and they are assisting the farmers to do the hand pollination. Once you do hand pollination, it means that productivity per hectare can improve from the current 450 kilograms to as much as 1,000 and then 1,500 kilograms per hectare. Right, we intend to do about 2,000 kilograms per hectare. That's what has happened elsewhere, in Malaysia, in Indonesia, in Ecuador, and other places. But unfortunately for Ghana,
what's the move?
Massive pruning of the trees. And we brought into the country motorized pruners, which the pruners will use. Instead of doing manual pruning, they're going to do motorized mechanical pruning. Again, when it comes to weeding, the use of the herbicides and pesticides has actually destroyed a lot of the microorganisms and then changed the biodiversity of the soils of most of our cocoa lands. We want to reverse this situation by the introduction of hand slashes, which are also motorized.
Okay.
So that instead of farmers using the machete, which is more laborious and drudgery, you know, saving of energy, we are introducing these motorized hand slashes for farmers to do the clearing of the bush and then also the weeding under cocoa farms. All these are tailored towards enhancing productivity per hectare. The next intervention has to do with irrigation. The flowers come from May to July and then also repeat from November, December, January, February. But the second flower comes at the time when we have a Harmattan, you know, blowing across the country. And in most of these cocoa farming areas, because of the low soil moisture, most of the flowers drop. We want to intervene again by introduction of irrigation so that throughout the dry season, the cocoa farms will have sufficient moisture in the soil to enhance productivity. We started the irrigation on our irrigation farm, and we hope to scale that out to the farmers from next year. In the case of the hand pollination, we've already recruited 10,000 farm crews, as I indicated.
Why do we position the mass spraying exercise here?
Now, the mass spraying is coming because without the mass spraying, we lose 20% of the farm output. That without mass spraying, straight away we lose 20% of the output naturally. And therefore, if we're able to do the mass spraying and do it effectively, which of course we are going to, then we'll be having optimal yields. And here again, we've created about 6,600 farm crews, and then we've procured enough spray machines, 12,000 hands, that's knapsacks, and then 8,000 motorized, you know, spray machines to be used for the spray. And we are going back to the gang spray, that's the gang mass cocoa spray. That's what we are introducing now. It's more or less a relaunch of what the previous NPP government did under President Kufuor. And then we also brought in sufficient fertilizers. This time around, very good fertilizers for the farmers, application of the AFAN. Already, we've distributed enough fungicides for the farmers, you know, to check the black spot disease. So all these interventions are being rolled out to enhance productivity so that within the shortest possible time, we can reverse the declining trend of cocoa in the country.
Well, we understand you have also cleared the debt of about $1.2
billion.
It's
$1.8
billion. $1.8 billion. And yes. That has been cleared?
Yes, that's so. You know, last year, an amount of $1.8 billion was syndicated for cocoa activity. But as at December 2016, that amount had been spent by the previous administration. We inherited a situation whereby there was no money. But thanks to God, and then with the prudent management of the industry, you know, we've been able to pay the entire amount from February up to the third week of July. It is a record, you know, payment. Because ordinary, you should have paid the amount by the end of August.
Okay.
But we were able to pay it at the third week of July, and therefore saved an amount of $400,000. That's the equivalent of 1.6 million, you know, 1.6 million Ghana City, which would have been the interest to be charged in August. But because we paid it, you know, on record time, we saved that money for the country. And this has raised the financial credibility of cocoa boards at the international market. Indeed, coming season, we applied for $1.3 billion. This is so because the cocoa price at the international market is falling. And therefore, we have to go in for a smaller portfolio. But because of the enhanced credibility, financial credibility of cocoa boards, the amount has been oversubscribed. As we speak today, you know, the banks outside, the offshore banks, are prepared to give us $2.4 billion. But we are going to take only $1.3 billion. If the need arises, and when you get to the bridge, maybe we can go in for something small in addition, up to maybe a maximum of $1.5 billion.
The cocoa and fertilizer policy, many farmers that journalists have spoken to are lauding the policy, but they are expressing concern about the sale of the product by some people. What measures are in place to avoid that?
They are concerned about what?
The sale of the fertilizers to the wrong people, and then smuggling of the product as well.
This matter must be discussed as a national issue. But the point is that our fertilizers have gotten to Cameroon, you know. The intelligence, Cameroonians are using Ghanaian fertilizer, cocoa board fertilizer. When you go to Ivory Coast, that's what they use. In all these countries, fertilizer is not free. It's sold at the market, you know. It's never free. It was only in Ghana where fertilizer was given free of charge to farmers. And the irony of it is that at the time when fertilizer was being given to farmers free, that was when the production fell, you know, dramatically. That we moved from 1 million metric tons to 778,000 metric tons last year. Last 2 years,
We made 740,000 metric tons. We made the production had been going down. And all these happened at the time when fertilizer was given free of time. Now, we've checked in our analysis, and when fertilizers are given free, only 20% of our farming, the cocoa farming population benefits. The rest goes to, you know, individual hands, people who are influential because of their position, because of the affiliation to certain people, they get the fertilizers. And because it's also free, it is not really dedicated to what it should do. The one thing that must be made clear is that it's not every cocoa farm that actually needs the fertilizer.
Okay.
If you have a cocoa farm which is 30 years and above, it means that that cocoa farm, the trees will be having less flowers each year. It's just like maybe a human being, a woman who is, who has attained a menopause. You know, you don't expect such a person reproducing. Much the same way, when cocoa gets, 30 years and above, it has, you know, reached, it's over age, that is the term, it's over age.
Okay.
And such cocoa trees don't really need the fertilizer.
All right.
You put the fertilizer there, it will not bring any effect or any change.
All right. I want to thank you.
What is free, farmers go for it. So now we want to dedicate the fertilizers for farmers who really need them.
Okay.
And that's why you subsidize it. The price should have been 171 Ghana cedis, is being given out at 80 Ghana cedis for the farmers to buy.
All right. Thank you very much for your time on Radio Ghana tonight, and we wish you all the best. Joseph Boahenedu is the Chief Executive Officer of Cocoa Board. We also have on the line the Member of Parliament for Juaboso and former Deputy Minister, Deputy Lands and Natural Resources, Kwamina Minta Akando. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, my brother. How are you?
Very well, and thanks for your time. Government wants to attain 1.5 million metric tons of cocoa in the shortest possible time. You are in a cocoa growing community and your constituents are into that. What is on the ground and the vision?
Let me say good evening to you and to your listeners. But if you indulge me, I will want to have a small bite on the relevance of the creation of a new region. Then I'll come quickly.
Probably briefly. We have just 4 minutes.
Yeah. No problem. I'll be very brief. It is very unpopular. It's an unpopular position to say that the creation of regions or new regions are not necessary, especially coming from the part of the country where I come from, the Juaboso constituency, being at the northern part of the western region. It's an unpopular position to say that the creation of the region is not necessary.
Okay.
It is necessary. But then, very importantly, you spoke to a local government expert who indicated that, in his opinion, the creation of more districts is not necessary. I vehemently disagree with him. If you are talking about the total development of the area, it depends so much on the number of districts. Distribution of common funds are based on district, cash fund, district, reactivation, district, number of schools, district. So it depends on the number of district you have within a particular area that will determine the development that will come to the area. If you only create the region, yes, I agree, the regional capital will develop at a faster rate. But then it will leave other districts or other communities, at a very slow pace. So the creation of additional districts are also very relevant in this matter. Mm-hmm. Now back to the substantive issue. Hello?
Yeah, you're on there.
Very well. Now back to the substantive issue. You know, he's quoting some figures, and let me tell you the background of the figures he's creating. I don't think that within the shortest possible time, for example, within 1 year, any measure can be put in place to increase the tonnage from 850,000 metric tons to 1.5 million metric tons. It is not realistic. But listen, there were a lot of measures put in place by the former regime that is going to shoot results. And I'll give you an example. For example, in 2013-2014 cocoa season, the Mahama administration introduced what we call replanting. They were cutting the old cocoa trees that had low yield. Okay? So they were replanting it with a hybrid cocoa seed at 2013-2014 cocoa season. So 4 years down the lane, you would expect that that cocoa, which was cut down in 2013 and replanted, will start yielding fruit and it will add on to the quantity that we need as a country. Okay? So when that cocoa tree was cut down, even if it was given one bag, it means that we'll lose that one bag for a 4 year period. You understand? So these are some of the policies. And again, listen, there are a lot of problems confronting the sector that I think that the CEO must sit down and then resolve the issues, because these figures is giving, the argument is making and the figures is throwing about, I don't see where it is coming from. Number one of the major factors that contribute to the higher yield of cocoa is fertilizer. And you see, you ask a question about the sale of fertilizer. You know, the reality is that the MPP administration or this administration has never introduced a free distribution of fertilizer. It was the Mahama administration who foresaw that. You see, you need to come from the cocoa growing area to appreciate what I'm saying. Look, he foresaw that in the cocoa growing area, around June, April, June, July, August, where you need the application of fertilizer, it is extremely difficult for the cocoa farmer to even afford 50 Ghana seeds.
Okay.
And therefore, government decided to give that free of charge to the cocoa farmer. Okay? And so, now that the government is selling the one bag of cocoa, one bag of fertilizer, at 80 Ghana cedis, very expensive. So the farmer who had 100 bags last year will have to get 8,000 Ghana cedis before he will get 100 bags. And therefore, if the farmer may not buy the fertilizer at all, if the farmer doesn't buy the fertilizer to apply, it means that he's going to record a low yield.
All right. I want to thank you.
The argument,
okay. I want to thank you. Yes, briefly.
No problem. The argument about that, look, if we sell the fertilizers, it will land, it will travel from this place to elsewhere, it will not go to a relevant, the influential people will get it and whatnot. Why? Are we not distributing chemicals for mass spray? Is it also not free?
Okay.
Why are we not applying the same argument?
Thank
and
you.
So there are a lot of things that I think that we really need time, because the cocoa is a backbone of the economy.
All right.
And so when it comes to cocoa,
we surely will revisit this issue. You know, it's a very serious topic. Thank you very much for your time. Kwamna Minta Kando is a member of parliament for Jwabuso. Some of your text messages, please. Tell them that we voted the NPP for jobs and development and not creation of regions. Ken Spanky in Krachi West. Matthias Tulasi in Hoses. George, this issue of creating new regions is just another political gimmick by the government. AU Farouk in Tamale. Good evening to you, George. The government should not rush in creating new regions. Pragmatic measures should be considered first. We thank you, George, and your crew for this fantastic program. Monica Cons in Navrongo. What a government. Never listen to anybody but they alone. Joseph in Bolga sent in that. Remember, when your region is divided, your culture will also be divided. Joseph again in Bolga. George, for the best of my knowledge, the creation of new regions is of no need for now. Daniel sent in that. Adele Wakil says, you are from Wa East. There is no need for new regions. What we need is free senior high school, teacher trainee allowance, and $1 million for Wa West. Salam Kasalgu. We are still struggling to develop the 10 regions, and yet the president wants to create more. Razak Bulung District, Kumbungu NPP SNS Group says, the creation of new regions are in the right direction. It will help to bring more development to the country. Mustafa in Tamale says, the creation of new regions is a step in the right direction to bring about speedy development in the country. Inshallah, NPP is going to fulfill all our campaign promises. We are grateful to God for Ghana's economy is now stable. Let us reject NDC government forever, else they will collapse the cocoa industry again by throwing away mass spraying. Taru Azingu from Mkwanta North Volta region. The creation of new regions out of our nation by the president will help lift the development of the country. Amadou Umar Naba from Mankarigu. Abdullahi in Santani Tolon district says, I think we need to put some key measures in place before exploring the new region issue. Aziz Tumu says, I totally agree with Professor Jampu. If the needs of 10 regions cannot be met, what guarantees additional ones? And unfortunately, our time is up. So sorry we are unable to read all your messages. My producers have been Asibi Bangu Ikela, Seth Eya John.